Hi, I'm William Tullett from Anglia Ruskin University in Cambridge.
And I'm Hannah McCann from the University of Melbourne in Australia.
And welcome to the Pandemic Sensory Archive, a collection of voices from sensory experts on the fate of the five senses during and after the COVID-19 pandemic.
This project has been sponsored by the British Academy, and we hope that you enjoy the interview.
Welcome back to the Pandemic Sensory Archive. Today I'm joined by Liam Findlay, who is going to talk about some of his work with smell both before and after the pandemic. So I wanted to start, Liam, by just having you describe who you are, what you do, and what your expertise is when it comes to the senses.
So I work for a company called Aroma Prime, who creates a variety of themed scents for various experiences, whether they be museums or theme parks or school workshops. And we kind of, it's our job to take people on journeys with the smells, and that might be to educate or to entertain or to bring back memories. There are all sorts of uses.
So in terms of sort of how you work then, sort of how do you use your nose, and how do you use other noses in your kind of daily work?
Well, my background personally is in attraction design. So my thinking is often around how our customers work. So, for example, if a museum wants to use a smell, I would think about the space, the way that visitors are going to react, the amount of smell that they might want to use, regarding how much ventilation they have, and what they can use to get the best results in terms of the message they're trying to get across. So I kind of refer to my own attraction design experience there. And when it comes to using my nose, I have a briefcase of samples with me, so I'm often sniffing various little bottles to see what's going to work best for the customers.
Okay, so I mean, do you want to maybe give me an example of an institution or a museum, for example, or an attraction that you worked with before the pandemic?
Yes. The one that often comes to mind is the Natural History Museum. It was actually a while back, but they had their new dinosaur. Well, it's not new anymore, but they had a dinosaur animatronic being made. And we were asked to make the smell of a dinosaur, which is pretty tricky when you think about how many dinosaurs there are around these days. So we spoke with lots of paleontologists, and we thought about what kind of situations. It was a T-Rex specifically, so we thought about the situations a T-Rex might have been in, and we developed a kind of it was all kind of almost meaty, like the meat rotting between the dinosaur's teeth, and perhaps some sores that it might have got from accidents or fights. Although more recent research, I think, suggested that T-Rexes were more scavengers than fighters. but at the time, that's what we concluded. But we also found that this stench, considering the variety of international visitors that the museum would have, we decided such a stench probably wouldn't be appropriate. So we ended up thinking more about the vegetation that would have been around back then, and we made a scent for that instead, that was used in the end. So that kind of gives an idea of thinking about the kinds of audiences that a venue will have, and making sure a scent is appropriate for them. And also getting the right message across. So that stink would have been perfect for kind of making people laugh and engaging people in the topic. But you've also got to consider other things. So I think smells in general grab people's attention. And I think we had a good balance in the end of authenticity and engagement and not making people feel sick.
Yeah, I mean, that's always a challenge with working with smell in, for example, a museum space, right? Is that fine line between being informative and grabbing people's attention, but also kind of being sensitive to visitors' experience and all visitors' experience. So in terms of then your kind of work over the last couple of years during the pandemic, how has the pandemic kind of changed the way you work? And in what ways?
I think the biggest way is it's mostly with museums and escape rooms, actually, because they're both the kinds of venues that are often very hands-on, and our customers, our museum customers, had to kind of shut off a lot of their hands-on interactives. And I think that kind of thing, interactive elements are pretty important these days as museums try to engage young people and people in new ways, so that it's kind of stepping away from the tradition of looking at things in glass cases. So the main thing for us was trying to think of how we could get around the issue of people not being able to touch things, because even some smell interactives, you would have drawers that you pull out and sniff, or buttons that you press and you get a smell come at you. And actually there was a Telegraph article too with the headline, "Museums considering exhibits children can smell rather than touch to prevent the spread of COVID-19. So it was something that lots of places were thinking about. And with a couple of venues, we developed some foot pumps, which are similar to what's been used in the Fleeting Sense of Colour exhibition. So people use their foot to activate a pump that releases a smell, which has not been something that many of our customers have used before, because it's actually perhaps cheaper and easier to create than like an electronic button that releases a smell, because you can just kind of buy any air pump off the internet and make sure the air goes through like an absorbent material that's been had a scent absorbed into it. And then it works, it from the ones that we've made with customers, it's worked pretty well. So what we found is a nice, affordable interactive from this, but it's also COVID safe at the same time. So that's worked out pretty well. And also introducing smells has been a nice way. It's more on the escape room side and theme parks and things, but they've been introducing smells to distract from the dissatisfaction that visitors might feel from all of the new precautions that they've had to experience, like sanitizing and wearing masks and things. So if they can be that little bit more immersed into a story, then they tend not to think about all the not so immersive features of COVID.
That's really interesting. I mean, this idea that smell can provide an immersive experience where it might be lost in other respects, like being able to touch things, is fascinating. I mean, can you give an example of a partner that you've worked with where you've used smells in that way to kind of almost distract from the kind of lack of immersion in other respects?
Yes, there's I think it's called something like Escape from History. I've probably got it wrong, but it's something like Escape the Past, I think, in Edinburgh, is a historical escape room. I think it's in the cellar of a real doctor's, like a Victorian doctor's surgery. So they're very interested in historical authenticity where possible. And they were looking into smells around the time of the pandemic because they had to close and then they had to open with lots of limitations in place. And when you have an escape room, people will be touching puzzles and things. But there would be waits to get the rooms clean, to make sure everything's nice and safe, and the customers had to consider all these things where they had to be careful, more careful than they normally would be. So including these authentic smells that were reflective of the story and made the history come alive, it really helped people. From the feedback we got from the customer, it really helped people think about that world more and think about the precautions a lot less. So it was very interesting and lovely, and it's something we kept in mind working with other customers, thinking about if you've got these precautions in place, maybe we can help you out with kind of making customers happier in general.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really interesting. So do you think that sort of in the, you know, in the longer term, you mentioned that people starting to experiment maybe with smell instead of other senses like touch, but also kind of new methods of smell delivery, like the sort of pedal operated delivery mechanisms. Do you think that, you know, in the longer run, there will, you know, the pandemic will change our relationship with the senses in attractions and escape rooms and museums and all these spaces? Do you think that it's going to change the way we engage with our senses with the world around us, or do you think that, you know, the it won't kind of fundamentally transform our experience of these spaces when it comes to particularly smell?
I think the generally the methods used and the smells themselves will probably remain the same, but I think there's a higher awareness of smells and the fact that they can bring unexpected benefits. Another thing that happened during the lockdown was that lots of theme park fans were missing their favourite attractions. So we collaborated with some attractions to launch scent ranges, so people could enjoy the actual smells of their favorite rides while they were at home. And we had people recreating, like playing the ride music and releasing the smells. And even with there were the dungeons who have lots of unpleasant historical smells. And people were spreading the smells of vomit and plague around their living rooms, which was a brilliant thing for the customers of these attractions. But it also became a marketing opportunity for the attractions. So they really realized we can use these smells for more than just creating atmosphere. We can kind of use them to engage our visitors. We can use them to promote ourselves. So I certainly think venues are going to be thinking about how they can use smells in interesting and beneficial ways going forward that they might not have thought about before.
I mean, that's a really interesting example there of the way in which museums are sort of, and other attractions are, taking the smells of these spaces into people's homes. I mean, obviously it's much more easy to, you can't box up an entire museum, but you can send them a vial of scent or a scented cube or any of these other kind of ways of scent delivery through the post. Do you get a sense of how the public have responded to those kinds of they've, from what you're saying, it sounds like they've enjoyed them, but do you think that they've responded differently to using smells in their homes, for example, than the way they might respond at an attraction or in a museum space?
Well, there was one one customer whose sister had autism, and she was a big fan of an Egyptian ride at Chessington World of Adventures. And we have an Egyptian mummy smell, which is all the kind of funerary oils that would have been used in mummification. And it might seem a strange thing, but this customer bought the smell for their sister, and they said that it really gave her a sense of comfort because she'd been so uncomfortable and distressed during lockdown. Being able to access this attraction in a very personal way was very useful. And I find that smells are interesting because you can kind of have an unlimited amount, whereas you can't be giving away real artifacts from a museum or real pieces of rides at theme parks, you can give the authentic or near authentic smell to people at their homes without much issue. So I think it's people would normally think of diffusing things like sandalwood at home or nice things, but I think this has led to an interesting scenario where people are happily diffusing unpleasant or less common, like the smells of wood smoke and strange atmospheric smells that they might not normally be diffusing in their homes, and they've absolutely loved it, the theme park fans especially. So it's certainly interesting. It's an interesting situation that this has led to.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I mean, I think one of the other interviews that we've had, we've kind of discussed the changing tastes in terms of fragrance candles, for example, that people have been used in their home, because this is a kind of expanding market during COVID. But and primarily they're about kind of keeping the home smelling fresh and pleasant. But I think this is an interesting example where, you know, the use of smell is less about making the home pleasant and more about actually trying to bring the outside in and trying to kind of essentially use smell to go on these kind of evocative journeys from your armchair. It's a form of armchair travel that allows you to experience the outside world.
Yeah, I think that's perhaps in the case of aroma prime, at least. I think it's happened because people associate our smells with experiences, with theme parks or with historical settings or historical experiences that they've had at museums or related to history. So I suppose with candle companies, if they said we're going to release the smell of something nostalgic or something historical, I think their market would probably say that's an awful idea. But I suppose because there are certain people that are within a certain context and have certain experiences, I think they're more open to the idea of using smells, perhaps using smells creatively, like the places they visit do. And they've kind of been exposed to that and they're very excited by it. For Aroma Prime, we've kind of opened up a new demographic to market to, in that we've got the customers of our customers who are interested in aromas and using them creatively. There was even during lockdown, there was someone who made a theme park musical, and they wanted a smell, the smell of Blackpool, that people could order and sniff while they listened to the musical. So it certainly unleashed something in people, a kind of creativity and a new way of approaching aroma.
It will be interesting to see whether that kind of desire for immersive experience, and also that kind of desire for immersive experience that one can have in one's own home rather than kind of traveling out to go and get it, will continue after the pandemic. I guess we will see. But thank you so much, Liam, for your time. It's been a really fascinating interview, and it will be, as I say, very interesting to see where, you know, smell in these attractions goes next as people begin to return.
Yes, I look forward to seeing.
Brilliant. Thanks, Liam.
That's all right.